Jesus has a vision for us, for you and for me and for this church, coming together to be transformed by His love. And this fall, as you know, because Jesus loves us, He has offered to transform us by making miracles in our lives. For 9 weeks now, God's Word has promised that Jesus will make miracles in our lives and through our lives, healing our diseases, casting out the demons that possess us, giving us new eyes to see, new ears to hear, hands to serve, legs to walk, hearts to love in the way that Jesus wants us to do, giving us new life now despite all the odds against it, and giving us eternal life someday in heaven with Him despite all of our unheavenly ways here in this life. Each week we have also lifted up to you witnesses to the truth that Jesus performs miracles here and now, all flowing from the power and the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. My hope is, my prayer is, if you did not believe in miracles before this series began, that now you believe, or at least you're open to the possibility that Jesus can make miracles in your life and the lives that you touch. Today, as we conclude our series on focusing on miracles, I'm not going to focus on a particular miracle, but I'm going to focus on the basics. It is the basics that I discovered while I was on our trip. One of the problems with the trip is you actually have a little bit of spare time. And so you learn things about, important facts that I'm going to share with you here today. It was a study that was done to find out which would be the healthiest and safest places by looking at where most fatal accidents occur. And here are the statistics. I know you're dying to find out. I didn't even use that word dying. I know that you want to find out. Avoid automobiles because 20% of all fatal accidents happen with automobiles. Do not stay home because 70% of all accidents happen in our homes. Do not walk on the streets or the sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur there. And avoid traveling by air or rail or water because 16% of all accidents happen by those means of transportation. And by all means, do not go to the hospital because 32.9% of all deaths occur in hospitals. But here's the good news. Here's the great news. Only 0.001% of deaths occur in church. So what this means, my friends, is the safest, healthiest place for you to be in your life is in church. Well, the truth is, the safest and the healthiest place to be in your life is with the one whose body is the church, Jesus Christ, who is the one, the only one who can make life-saving, life-giving miracles in our lives. This is the truth that we affirm today through our scripture, which comes from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is traveling and healing through all the villages in Galilee. And He has just told the disciples the parable of the seeds and the four soils. And He concludes the parable by saying, those who hear and believe and live God's Word will receive lives full of light and blessings beyond measure. Well, then Jesus calls His disciples to get in a boat with Him and go across the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee, it turns out, is really more like a lake. And the distance across the Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles. And as they're crossing the lake, something unexpected happens. And Jesus responds with a miracle that He offers us this morning. The disciples respond with a question. And the answer to the question will determine whether or not Jesus is able to make a miracle in your life and mine. Here's how it went. One day Jesus said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and set out. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. Suddenly a storm swept down so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Jesus, crying out, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? Jesus asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, the disciples asked, who is this? He speaks to the wind and to the water, and they obey Him. They sail to the other side, to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. God's Word this morning offers us the basics for Jesus making miracles in and through our lives through three basic truths. The first basic truth is this: we all experience storms in our lives, often unexpected. As the great philosopher Forrest Gump once said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Well, what we get is often unexpected, but it's not sweet like chocolates. Our lives are suddenly hit by a storm. The waters rage. Our lives threaten to capsize. Our lives look like they're turning upside down. We think we're going to drown. We all experience storms, often caused by something outside of ourselves, sometimes caused by ourselves. The doctor's diagnosis is not good. We lose our job. Our debts seem insurmountable. Our marriage is falling apart. The air is full of hurtful words or no words. Our children, our family, our friends disappoint us. We drift apart. They turn away from us. Our unhealthy actions and attitudes become a habit, an addiction, who we are. Disease storms are, in effect, the conditions that we have lifted up over the last 9 weeks for miracles for Jesus. For no matter how confident or competent you are, hear that, for no matter how confident and competent you are, storms will come that we cannot handle. Remember the disciples, many of them were fishermen. They had spent their whole life on the sea. They had guided their boat through many a storm. But this storm was too much for them. And there's going to come a storm that's too much for you and too much for me. It's in the face of those storms when we need Jesus. We need Jesus to make a miracle. The good news of God's Word for today is our second basic truth. Jesus will calm our storms, bring us peace, and get us through to a storm-saved other side if. Over and over for the last 9 weeks, Jesus has shown us that He has the power and the desire to make miracles in our lives. But whether His miracles are made depends on two ifs. If we are in the boat with Jesus. If when the storm comes, we have a personal relationship with Jesus so that we can turn to Him, we'll know to turn to Him to save us. It is this truth that was experienced by Jan and Frank Harrison in 2010. They were sailing on a smooth sea. Frank was an outstanding, extremely successful businessman, the CEO of Coke Consolidated. His wife, Jan, was the leader of this wonderful community-wide Bible study. Jesus and his church were at the center of their lives. One day, at 10:30 in 2010, Jan was at her desk working on the Bible lesson for the next week. She heard the door open, and Frank walked in through the front door. She heard his footsteps on the floor. Why was Frank coming home now? He never comes home in the middle of the day. Frank walked to the door where Jan was working. And he paused and then he said, "We lost James today." Jan said, "What? We lost James today? What are you talking about?" And Frank said, "Our son died this morning. It was from a rare infection. His roommate told us that he'd been sick, but he hadn't gone to see the doctor. He thought it was just a passing bug." Not James. Not James. He was doing the Lord's work in Sudan. Not James. In horror and despair, Jan's eyes dropped to her Bible, the lesson for next week. The disciples were in a boat with Jesus and suddenly a storm swept down. And Jesus asked them, "Where is your faith?" For the next days and weeks and months, Jan and Frank clung to Jesus to get them through the storm. Oh yes. Jan shouted at Jesus, "Are you asleep? Don't you see the storm that's sweeping down? We're about to drown here, Jesus." Jesus responded to her cries, "Trust in me. Put your storm in my hands." And slowly but surely, Jesus calmed the storm in their lives and in their hearts. "Yes," Jan says, "every day I miss James. Every day my heart aches for James. But we're at peace. For we know that James is with Jesus. We're closer to Jesus and to our church and to our friends and to each other than ever before. Jesus even brought us to the other side, guiding us to remember and honor our son by getting involved in his mission, Open Eyes in Sudan, not just giving money, but going ourselves. Today, Jan witnesses to everyone she can, we are so thankful that when the storm swept down on us, we were in the boat with Jesus. At first, I thought our lives were over. But I want you to know, Jesus still does miracles when you are with him, even in the face of a storm you never could have imagined. I want to urge you this morning, if you don't already have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to get in the boat with him now. So when those storms come, and they will come, my friends, Jesus can calm the storm and give you peace and bring you to a storm-saved life on the other side. If we also trust in Jesus by crying out to him, confessing our storms to him, turning the storm over to him, letting him be our master in the midst of the storm, as he did with Jesus, with the disciples, to overcome the storm with his word. This if seems very obvious to us, doesn't it? We have often affirmed this out loud, even in a Presbyterian church here in this worship center, that we can no longer handle some storm. We give it to Jesus and he brings us peace and gets us through someday to the other side. But this morning, I want to warn us about a more subtle storm. It's a secret storm. It's the storm within us. It's a storm that we don't confess to Jesus, that we don't turn over to Jesus, that we don't let him master with his word. It is most often some sin, some unhealthy thoughts or attitudes or actions or habits or addictions. We think we can handle it. There are not going to be fallout or consequences from this. No one is ever going to know. It's really no big deal, this secret storm. Until suddenly it bursts through the surface and the waters rage. And we think we're going to drown. Now, normally, I do not look to public figures in my messages, but this morning I am, to warn us about the dangers of the secret storm that we keep to ourselves and don't turn over to Jesus as our Master and Savior. It's a storm within that has burst to the surface in our nation by David Petraeus and Paula Broadwell and others. The secret storm within of adultery and unfaithfulness and deceit and jealousy and pride and self-indulgence and self-centeredness. I don't know what their faith is, but I know this, that as soon as this storm began to brew, if they had been willing to confess it to Jesus Christ and turn it over to him and ask him to be the master in the midst of the storm brewing within them, then Jesus would have done as he did with the disciples and speak his word into the midst of the storm, warning with his word about the consequences of lust and lies and pride and hurting the one you love. Urging with his words morality and humility and self-control and faithfulness and truthfulness and seeking forgiveness. I am confident that Jesus would have made a miracle to calm even this powerful emotional storm brewing within these two people. And the storm within would never have become this devastating storm now raging in their lives, in their marriages, their families, their friends, the thousands and thousands who looked up to them as examples, raging in this nation. So I urge you, my friends, to look inside you and confess to Jesus there's some storm brewing inside you that is not what Jesus has in mind for your life. And I urge you to confess this storm to Jesus Christ, to turn it over to Him, to make Him the master of the storm, to speak His word into the midst of the storm and bring you peace and calm. Bring you safely to a new storm-free life on the other side. And when we experience this miracle of Jesus overcoming our storm, then we will be able to affirm our third basic truth, which is the answer to the question that the disciples asked, "Who is this who speaks His word to the wind and the water?" And even they obeyed them. For now you and I know the answer to the question the disciples were still unsure about. The answer is, Jesus is the Son of God who has the power and the desire to make miracles, to calm our storms, to bring us peace, and to take us to the other side of the storms in our lives. You and I know this. Jesus has made storm-overcoming miracles in many of our lives, but we know this only because Luke witnessed to the desire and power of Jesus Christ to make miracles in the midst of our storms, and only because someone told you that Jesus could make a miracle in your life and overcome your storms and get you to the other side. It's only because someone was a witness to you. I'm going to close today by encouraging us to be witnesses and issue invitations to storm-overcoming miracles by sharing as a witness the two men that I learned about when Sally and I were in Beijing. I was talking with Shannon and Mark, our daughter and son-in-law, about the status of Christian faith in China. It is estimated that more than 150 million Chinese are followers of Jesus Christ, and almost all of them worship in what are called house churches. It can range from a house to a theater. House churches are illegal, and the government has the right to harass you, persecute you, and put you in prison because you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you worship in a house church. So I asked Mark and Shannon, how in the face of all this persecution and danger can the Christian church in China be flourishing? Which it is. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Mark responded by sharing with me this miracle-making story in the midst of a storm that I'm going to share with you this morning. It has inspired me, it's re-energized me to be a witness to Jesus Christ in the world. And I hope it will inspire you to do the same. Lee Tianin accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior in 1965. He was so grateful and so full of joy for his newfound life, his eternal life, that he quit his job. And he went throughout the countryside and the province where he lived, the Fengchang province, preaching the good news and founding hundreds of house churches. In fact, I love this. The opposition of the government was so intense that Lee concluded, if you dare to preach, others will believe. If you dare to even preach the good news, others will believe by your witness. Lee was so successful that he was arrested in 1970 and sentenced to death. The storm began raging in his life. He was tortured to renounce his faith for months on end. He spent 6 months in a windowless prison, standing up, to renounce his faith. But Lee refused to renounce his faith. He trusted, he said, in Jesus Christ to get him through this storm, either in this life or the life to come. 3 times his execution date was set, and 3 times an event happened that kept them from executing Lee. And throughout this time, his principal tormentor was a man named Fong Tiaxi. In 1978, there was a change in the regime in China, and Fong Tiaxi's group fell out of favor. And Fong was in prison and coincidentally ended up in the same cell with Lee. And when Fong found out who this was, he said, Jesus saved you. 3 times I was going to put you to death, and 3 times you were saved by Jesus. Your Jesus has awesome power. Would you tell me about your Jesus? And so for the next month, Lee led Fong through the good news of Jesus Christ and how Jesus gets us through the storms of our lives and brings us to the other side. And after that time, Fong said to Lee, I have wronged so many Christians, including you. Could Jesus ever forgive me? Could you ever forgive me? And Lee responded, you have sinned in many ways, but you will be forgiven if you confess your sin and ask to be forgiven. A week later, Fong Tiaxi, the great persecutor of the Christian people in China, was secretly baptized in prison by Li Tianyan. A year later, Li was released. 10 years later, Fong was released and proceeded to found hundreds of house churches. Someone asked him in his old age to describe what led him to change his life. His answer, Jesus performed a miracle for my friend Lee. My friend Lee performed a miracle for me, and now my calling is to go and offer miracles to my brothers and sisters in China. My calling is to be a witness to the miracle-making love and power of Jesus Christ. For 10 weeks now, we have lifted up the power and the desire of Jesus to make miracles in our lives. For 10 weeks, we have lifted up witnesses to the truth that Jesus has the desire and the power to make miracles in our lives, to get us through the storms in our lives, no matter what they are. And so I urge you to be in the boat with Jesus Christ, to have a personal relationship with Him. And if you're struggling with that, I pray that you will come with me and we will work through this together. We need to be in the boat with Jesus Christ. Confess to Him, turn over to Him any storm, any circumstance in your life that needs a miracle. And my friends, this is a promise. Jesus will make a miracle happen. You will get through the storm sweeping through your life. But do not stop there. Be a witness. Be a witness to someone in this world who's in a storm, who needs a miracle. Invite them to experience the storm-overcoming, miracle-making power and love of Jesus Christ. That is my hope for you. And my friends, that is the only hope for our world. Amen.
Fill up all my sinners. that if Jesus Christ came to earth as Son of God to offer to give us new life now and eternal life with Him forever, and in the meantime, when the storms rage in your life, that He will be with you and get you through the storm, to give you peace, bring you calm, and to get you to the other side of the storm-saved life. Now, I know that if I let you go in there and start lining up for the Thanksgiving dinner, that we'll never get in a prayer. So what we're going to do now is we're going to bless the food. Is that okay with y'all? Now stay beside. So let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for this amazing day. We do thank You for the blessings that You have poured out on the lives in this room, grace beyond measure. And Lord, we do thank You for the way this family of faith has nurtured us and guided us and leads us out in this world to be a witness of Jesus Christ in the world. Now, Lord, we pray that You will bless this food that we're sharing together, especially the fellowship that brings us together as we break bread together. We thank You for Josh and so many others who worked so hard to make this a special occasion for us. Thank You for the amazing music that our choir offered this morning, and for all the ways that Your love has flowed among us here today. And now, Lord, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us this day and every day. Amen.
Amen.